It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mike Arnold in for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we highlight some of our favorite holiday movies, and we ask you to weigh in about yours.
But first, the U.S. Department of Justice just announced that it will review the case of the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton by a former Milwaukee police officer.
Earlier today, we got the details of Milwaukee County District Attorney Chisholm's decision not to press criminal charges against the former police officer. And now we want your reaction as we talk with Eugene Kane. He's a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section. Eugene, thank you for joining us this evening.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Well, earlier today we talked with Dontre Hamilton's brother, Nate, who said he was not surprised. He said they prepared for the worst and hoped for the best. But what happened was what they got today, this decision not to press criminal charges. And we want to ask you the question that we asked him. Were you surprised at this decision?
Well, I think when you're an African-American who's lived in Milwaukee as long as I have, more than 30 years, you're not surprised because there's never been a case where a Milwaukee police officer who basically has been accused of using excessive force on particularly a black suspect has been charged. So, no, to answer your question, I wasn't surprised.
And we just got the news that the U.S. Department of Justice will review this case. What do you expect to come from the early stages of that investigation?
Well, I would just hope that it will be a chance to really just lay out the facts very plainly for most people to see that this is a case where a guy who was said to be mentally disturbed was in a park in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. I guess some people thought he was causing trouble. A couple of police officers did investigate and found that he might have, you know, been a kind of peculiar or quirky kind of guy, but he wasn't really breaking the law or doing anything wrong. Then Christopher Manny comes afterwards, and it becomes a deadly altercation. And I just think the Justice Department and everybody else really needs to kind of reconcile the idea that a guy who had been investigated and found he was doing nothing wrong was later then shot multiple times by a police officer after an altercation that the police officer caused himself, which the police chief has found was something that didn't have to happen and was actually outside police procedure.
We've seen protests.
So if we put all that on the table and look at it very objectively, I would hope the Justice Department will come to a conclusion like a lot of Milwaukeeans have come to, that this can't just be excused as, you know, just, you know, something that happened. A man's life was lost, and it didn't have to be lost.
Now, over the past month or so, we've seen protests over the deaths of Eric Garner, over Michael Brown. Eugene, what is the scene like in Milwaukee tonight?
Well, I have friends on the East Coast and in other places outside Milwaukee who are interested in the Ferguson case and interested in the New York Michael Eric Garner case. But I have told them that because Milwaukee is not as prominent on the national spotlight, I have told them for months that if they ever really found out the details of the Dontre Hamilton case, it actually is much more dramatic than any of those other cases. I mean, when you get a guy shot multiple times, as many as I've heard is 14 times, because basically he felt that he's an armed police officer and he felt that this unarmed black man, mentally disturbed black man, was about to, I guess, threaten him physically. It just, once you put it out there, people have to kind of understand that this is a very, you know, dramatic case of what a lot of people have been complaining about.
We're talking right now with Eugene Kane. He's a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section. And we'd like to hear from you. What is your reaction to this decision today? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about what happened, the decision, and what do you make of the specifics of this case? What would you like to see moving forward now that we know that there will be a federal investigation? You can call in right now at 800-642-1234. And Eugene, Mayor Tom Barrett, Mayor of Milwaukee, was on our program last Friday talking about some new police training that will be required for police to deal with mentally ill people. What do you think about that as a gesture of good faith in working with the police and how they interact with African Americans and with all the citizens in Milwaukee.
Well, of course, I agree with that. I think that's a good thing to happen. I have to, and not trying to be overly cynical, I have to wonder how much good that does the Dontre Hamilton family. And I also wonder whether or not there's sort of like an excuse being made for a lapse in procedure all these years, where I would suspect, because mental illness is not a real new development for police departments to have to deal with, I would have to wonder why there's been this all this time where nobody has come up with the right policy. Or if they have the right policy, it hasn't been drilled into the minds of their police recruits, because I keep hearing that Milwaukee police officers have been specifically trained to how to use their firearms, which is why they say Christopher Maney was justified in firing so many times at Dontre Hamilton, because he was considered a threat. It seems to me, why aren't they trained just as well as to how to handle unarmed, supposedly mentally ill suspects without, you know, using deadly force? So I agree with Mayor Barrett. There needs to be, you know, new procedures, new techniques taught, but we can't just look past the fact that this case is still an example of when somebody does something deadly wrong.
And what do you think about the specifics of the case? We had Dontre Hamilton being shot 14 times, and also the use of force, the use of excessive force was deemed appropriate. What did you think about that specific decision?
Well, I just asked for people to look at it in a very personal way and just use common sense, whereas if you're an armed police officer, you have a gun, you've been trained how to handle people. So according to what I've heard about this Dontre Hamilton, Christopher Maney encounter, is that there was an encounter, and he perhaps, I mean, Dontre Hamilton perhaps grabbed Christopher Maney's baton. But at that point, does that translate into feeling your life is in so much danger that you have to now empty your firearm into the body of this guy? I mean, that's what a lot of black people, probably a lot of white people too, question about this case. This extreme use of violent force, how can you really justify that by saying, well, that's police procedure? In that case, any police officer who encounters a mentally troubled or any kind of, you know, bizarrely acting person is justified in killing them because they make a grab for their baton or they're very physically, you know, abusive. I mean, police officers are supposed to be trained better than that.
And we'll go to our phone lines now, Eugene. Let's get some callers in on this. We have Tony joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What do you think?
I would disagree. Based on the reports and what the witnesses said from the district attorney's full report, I took a glimpse over it. The person, Dontre Hamilton, he took the officer's metal baton and he struck him with the baton. Witnesses can corroborate that story. So to say that he's unarmed and to say, kind of, I guess, sugarcoat that language, I think is false. And I think that if anyone, trained or not, a soldier, a police officer, a regular civilian, being struck with a metal baton repeatedly, they're going to use deadly force. It's just the reality of it. And so I think the issue at hand is just you have people like Dontre Hamilton, or just the Ferguson case, or the issue in New York. It's just nothing good can come out of resisting police officers or disobeying police officers. I mean, you don't deserve to die, absolutely not, but you run the risk of something bad happening. Chances are 100 out of 100 times when you're resisting a police officer, when you're grabbing for a gun, when you're swinging a metal baton or instrument at a police officer, nothing good's going to come of it.
Tony, thank you for your thoughts there. And the metal baton being used against the officer, Eugene, does that perhaps agree with what the district attorney said, that the officer feared for his life and needed to use the force that he did?
Well, I don't want to start arguing with people who, because I wasn't there, this caller wasn't there, you weren't there. I just don't really see how a trained police officer suddenly feels that he's in such danger of his life, he has to shoot somebody 14 times. I'll just leave it at that.
We're talking with Milwaukee-based columnist Eugene Kane about his response to the Dontre Hamilton case and the fact that the U.S. Department of Justice will be reviewing that case.
And we want your reaction, too. Do you believe that the DA was right not to indict former officer Christopher Manny in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton or not? Is the federal review of the case warranted? What do you hope the outcome is for the Hamiltons and for the community? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We have to create the change. We have to create the standards throughout this nation to make sure that we as people, we have rights that are protected by these officers. And these officers violate those rights, they kill us. They are held to a higher standard than what this attorney Chisholm is holding it to.
A clip there from Nate Hamilton. We heard from him earlier in the program talking about the shooting death of his brother, Dontre Hamilton. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Mike Arnold, and we're talking with Milwaukee-based columnist Eugene Kane about today's decision by the Milwaukee County District Attorney not to indict the former Milwaukee police officer in the shooting death of Dontre Hamilton. We're also talking about the new federal investigation that was announced that it's being launched today as well.
And we'd like to hear from you. What was your reaction to the news that the officer would not be charged with criminal charges? Coming off the heels of similar cases around the country, do you see this, as some have called it, as Milwaukee's Ferguson moment? Call us at 800-642-1234. We continue on with columnist Eugene Kane, and we take our first call from Greg in Milwaukee. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My understanding is that during the middle of the 1900s, when there were automatic weapons around, police were told to use revolvers because it took more deliberation to shoot, and there was less chance of a killing. But during an attempted bank robbery in California maybe 20 years ago, when the criminals had automatic weapons, there was a switch over to automatic weapons, and police were told to just pull the trigger and use up all the magazine. And this was from a book called Glock, The Rise of America's Gun.
And Greg, thank you so much for your thoughts. I think I've got the gist of what you're saying there. Eugene, is part of the problem the weapons that police are using? Do they need to move to something different, maybe a taser, maybe something that's less likely to kill?
For the first time, I think I've heard in some of the reporting today that there's some sort of procedure that recruits are trained that if they feel in some kind of encounter their lives are in danger, they should just empty their weapons. And I thought to myself, God, that sounds like such a barbaric policy. I'm sure that can't be true, but I've been kind of informed since then it actually is true in terms of training. So I'm not a real I'm not a gun nut at all. I don't really, know much about guns and weapons. So, but, I don't know what your caller was getting at exactly. But I do think it is surprising to learn that there's this idea that you should just keep firing until you don't have any more bullets in any case in which you feel, your life might be threatened, which could be any number of scenarios. That just seems wrongheaded to me.
Greg, I thank you for your call, and we'll move next to Josh joining us in West Bend. Hi, Josh.
Hey, I'm not an expert on this, but I thought police officers were trained to disarm first instead of shoot to kill. I would think someone holding a baton would, you could probably disarm him, hit him in the shoulder or something instead of 14 times, but I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate that. And Eugene, I don't know if you are an expert about the way police are trained, but in terms of aiming to disarm someone that they're dealing with, is that, do you think, a goal? Does there need to be some sort of scrutiny about the way that things escalate and when force is used?
I think people need to use common sense in reference to the most highly publicized incidents that have gotten the nation real upset about how police seem to be involved in these shootings and wrongful deaths of black suspects in particular. In most cases, I think for the normal citizen, you wonder why it had to go to that extreme, which I think is what the caller is suggesting. And yes, even without any intimate knowledge of how they're trained, it just seems amazing to me
that your first instinct as a police officer is to end up shooting and killing someone. And I have to also add that in my social media networks, I have seen over the last 6 months, because of the Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner and the Michael Brown cases, there have been numerous incidences of white suspects being cornered by police, whether holding weapons or threatening people, and they never get killed. They always end up getting taken alive. So I'll put that out there as someone who that I've seen that, and that just basically just raises a question to me. And it's a racially based question, but that's what I've seen.
Now, Officer Manny has already been fired from the department, so he's no longer patrolling the streets. What else would you like to see done as Milwaukee moves forward from this moment?
Well, I don't have any personal thing with Officer Manny, but I do think the fact that he was fired for not acting properly as a police officer, but he's not going to face any charges for killing a person while he was acting improperly as a police officer, just seems totally ridiculous and astounding to me. I think any reasonable person can look at it that way, that, okay, you'll lose your job because you kill someone, but you won't get charged before you kill someone. And that might be a simplistic way of wrapping it up, but that's the way I see it, and that I can definitely tell you that's the source of the anger from a lot of people in the African-American community in Milwaukee. They just see such a disconnect between the way he was treated by the department and now by the justice system.
And we go back to our phone lines now. Michelle is joining us from Racine. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I just wanted to say I work in occupational therapy, and I've worked with the people with mental illness, and I've even worked with children with that have some sort of mental illness. And I've understood, you know, the diseases that they've had. And when I've worked with them, I've been frightened for my life. And I'm in a safe environment, and I know they have nothing to hurt me. And so I'm not saying that that's a reason to shoot people, but I'm saying you don't know how that officer felt in his position where he was at.
Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate that perspective. Again, we are going to be seeing more training for police officers to deal with mental illness. But, Eugene, do you see that as something that was under consideration, perhaps, in the decision today?
Well, I mean, I'm very concerned with the training of police officers to deal specifically with mentally ill suspects or people. But I'm disturbed by the idea that there were officers, and I think it gets kind of lost in the narrative. There was officers, Milwaukee police officers, who encountered this suspect, or this victim, rather, earlier, and found that he was not really doing anything wrong. I mean, we can't really just ignore that. What was the trigger for Officer Manny to decide that he had to encounter him in a more aggressive way? He can't be excused for that. He has to kind of answer for that.
Now, earlier when we had Dontre Hamilton's brother on, Nate Hamilton, he said that he felt there was a broader problem that he was hoping would be addressed. He was talking about the contributions of African-Americans not being acknowledged. He said they contribute to the community, but their contributions are overlooked and that the whole system needs to be fixed. What do you think he was getting at? And do you agree that there's a broader problem here beyond perhaps, you know, just looking at the way police interact with the people that they're policing?
Well, I think, you know, I've written about these issues for years, and I think we get into trouble when you start to broaden it too much. We need to deal with these specifics. I can come up with a lot of different theories about police community relations and in regards to the way they encounter African Americans or young people or whatever. I think in this case, we should stay centered on this particular issue, which is an encounter between a Milwaukee police officer and a individual who had mental problems, most people say, and understanding exactly what the confrontation ended up being and what's the responsibility of the officer who was involved, Christopher Maney. because, I mean, I don't really understand, again, like I said, how he can be penalized for not doing his job and losing his job, but can't be penalized for not doing his job and costing someone else their life.
Now, as we run out of time here together, how do you recommend our leaders, our police departments, and our communities come together at this point and have a constructive dialogue, as you say, about the specifics of this?
Well, I just think they need to. I think what I've seen, Mayor Barrett and Chief Flynn seem to understand the nature of the protests and the nature of the anger in the community. I don't think Governor Walker or Sheriff Clark seem to be dealing with it in a way other than looking at their own political fortunes and trying to kind of, you know, coddle up to people who don't really understand what's going on in the community. So these folks have to really kind of understand that they speak for everybody, and hopefully they'll take the right path in keeping a lid on things and continuing to progress with the investigation, which needs to be done, because I think there are still questions need to be resolved.
Eugene, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for the invitation.
We've been speaking with Eugene Kane, a Milwaukee columnist whose Sunday column runs in the Journal Sentinel's Crossroads section. And you can keep the conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page as Milwaukee and Wisconsin and the nation reacts to this decision today announced not to press criminal charges in the case of Dontre Hamilton. What is your reaction? What do you think it'll take to move forward? Let us know on the Central Time Facebook page.